Are you going to send out your situation?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to send it out. How soon am I going to do that? I guess at, like, the end of the week I'll do it.
Can I make a request?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe it's Kadai not to wait until you finish it to send it out. Meaning, like, okay. If you finish the first few, then you send that out first.
Like, sure. Yeah.
I'll make it a Google Doc if that makes things easier.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, I'll get it out to you soon.
This way people can deal with Zara and when you're ready.
Yeah. Okay. All right, fine. So let's so we'll go through, like, basically the things that I assume, not like Rebbe tells me, but things I assume, I think I'm okay guessing, what Rebbe is going to ask on the Pena. So,
Do we have extra? I don't have three.
You don't have three? Rebbe has. Yeah, and if you need, you can make a photocopy of mine. Yeah. All right, so let's start. Okay. So, number one is, what is the din? The Gemara discusses... Is that your Gemara? I think we should go up and say to the Gemara. So, let's open the Gemara. Right, I figure we'll go up and say to the Gemara, and then, like, we'll just fill in the blanks. That way we can get the Malach of the Gemara, you know, to really know it. Really, just wait for Yaakov. My favorite, yeah. Okay. I figure, like, we'll go, like, we'll just basically read through the Gemara Rashi Tosfos and then fill in the, like, Iker things that Rebbe's going to focus on. Okay? Okay. So, Amar Rebbe Chalbo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav. Okay, achas besula va'achas almana to una bracha. Both a besula and an almana require birchas chasanim. Umi amar Rav Huna hach, umi amar Rav Huna hach, iva amar Rav Huna. Almana ain't a tuna bracha. Well, Rav Huna doesn't say that. Rav Huna said that an almana does not get a bracha. Subo kasha, kan bebacher, shenasa almana, kan be'amon, shenasa almana. No, not an issue. When Rav Huna said that that both a besula and an almana get a bracha, when a bachar marries an almana, right? That's what we said. When a bachar marries an almana, she gets sheva brachos. But when an almana marries an almana, she doesn't get seven. Rather, she gets only one bracha. So, ask the Shita Mikubetzes. The Shita Mikubetzes asks, he says, well, why did we have to make it two different cases? Why did we have to say, kan bebacher, kan be alma? Right? That one is talking about when a... what's up? Not right now, but I can put it up online later. Okay? Yeah. So... Johnny! Rebbe did that in cheer today.
You gotta call it.
Yeah. There's no way, sorry. Okay. So when she gets Sheva Brachos, that is when it's with a bacher. And when she doesn't get Sheva, it's with a Alma. Why do we have to make it two separate cases? Let's just talk about that it's let's only talk about a Alman marrying an Almana, right? Make it one case. And when Rav Huna said that she doesn't get a bracha, that's referring to the fact that she doesn't get seven. And when he said that she does get a bracha, that's referring to the fact that she gets one. Why do you have to make it two separate cases? Right? What did the Gemara do? The Gemara said, kan bebacher, kan ba'almana. Right? Why did Rav Huna say in one case that she doesn't get a bracha, in another case he said that she does get a bracha? Oh, it must be he's talking about two different cases. Why did Shita Mikubetzes says no? It could be it's all the case of an almana marrying an almana, and she'll only, and when he said that she doesn't get a bracha, that's referring to the fact that she doesn't get seven. And when when Rav Huna says that she does get a bracha, that means that she gets one. So the Shita answers that we wanted to keep the Shita answers is that the Gemara would not have used such opposite lashon like that, right? Rav Huna in one place says that she does get a bracha, and in another place it says that she doesn't get bracha. So we wouldn't want to make it one case, because if it was one case, then Rav Huna wouldn't use literally opposite lashonos in reference to the same case, right? He wouldn't say by a case where she gets one bracha, both that she gets and she doesn't get, right? Pick one. It's one case, just what, right? The Gemara wouldn't use two opposite lashonos. So it must be we're talking about two different cases. Therefore, it would make sense for Rav Huna to use opposite lashonos, right? Got the answer? Okay. Weiter in... Huh? Yeah. That Rebbe... That was in the review questions.
He referenced it in number
one. He did not reference it in number one, but he referenced it in another question. I don't know exactly. I think in number 11. But... Yeah. Okay. So now before going weiter, we should just stop to discuss the, you know, halacha l'maisa. What does a bachar get? What does an almana get? What does an almon get? What does a basula get in terms of bracha, days of simcha, all that? So, l'kuli alma, and we'll put together the combinations. When a bachar marries a basula, what does she get? Sheva brachos and sheva l'simcha. L'kuli alma. When a bachar marries an almana, what's the halacha? She gets sheva brachos, and it is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba if it's shlosha l'simcha or if it's shiva l'simcha. Machlokas Rambam and the Rashba, which is comes up at the end of the end of the yomid over here. Next combination, an almon that marries a basula, what's the halacha? 7-7, right? Because a basula, no matter what, gets 7 and 7. Right? Shiva l'bracha, shiva l'simcha. When an almon marries an almona, what's the din? One day of bracha and 3 days of simcha. Why 3 days of simcha? Shaktu. Shaktu tikanos kama benos shol. Sameh ima shlosha yamin. Right? That's why an almana has to get married on Thursday. So that way, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, guaranteed to be together. Right? Yeah. That's the halachos right off the bat. Let's go by to the Gemara. The Amal Shanas Amana Lo, the Amar of Nachman, Amar Li Huna Bar Nasan, Tana, Minayin Lebrichas Sanam Bel Asar, Shadam Bar, Vyikach Azar Nashim Bezikne Eir, Vyomar Shvu Po, Vyashvu, Uboaz Amal Shanas Amana Habe. So, the Gemara just established that when an almon marries an almana, she doesn't get bracha. So now the Gemara is asking, wait a second. We know that the mucker for Birchas Hasanim is from, the at least that Birchas Hasanim needs 10, needs a minion, is from Boaz. Boaz married Rus. Boaz was an almon, and Rus was an almana. Rashi, right here, says that what does it mean that Boaz was an almon? How do we know? The Amar Mar Atzvan Ze Boaz. The Amar Mar Atzvan Ze Boaz. The Kfar Hayu Lo Shoshim Banu Shoshim Banos. Baba Basra Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph. That Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Baba Basra that Boaz was an almon. How do we know? Because he had 60 kids. So asks the Hafla, right? Asks the Hafla that, why do I care about whether or not he had kids? The whole point here is, is he a widower or not? Is he an Amo? Well, first of all, he very well could. Yeah, if his wife didn't die and he wanted to have a second wife, she was marrying Rus.
We know that he's to get a second wife.
Right? So why would Rashi not quote the end of that Gemara, which does say that Boaz was an Alma? Why is Rashi only quoting the first half that says that Boaz had kids? So answers the Hafla based on Tosfos on the next Amud. Tosfos on the next Amud says what? Says Dibur Masel Vaha. Vaha Boaz Amud Shnas Almana Have. Lav Dafka Almana. Lav Dafka, when we say that Almana or an Amun gets, you know, Echa Lebracha, Shlosh Lesimcha, that Lav Dafka, we mean Almana, that a widow. Because when Rus married Machlon and Kilion, she was not Jewish. And if she wasn't Jewish, then the whole dinim of Alman and Almana don't play an aftermina with her. Meaning if she wasn't Jewish and then her husband's died and then she converted afterwards, so we wouldn't consider that person an Almana. Right, Gerko. However you want, but she's not a widower, according to Allah. Meaning, like, with regard to, like, let's say, Marek Kohen Gadol, the Nafgamin is a come from an Almana, you have to look at each of those dinim, but it might be different if she was married to a non-Jew. So we wouldn't necessarily call her an Almana. So then why are we referring to Rus as an Almana? Because Ela Kivan Zibu'ulahi Ka'almana, right? Since she is a ba'ula, therefore we consider her like an alman. So an alman who had kids, meaning a person who had kids, what does that mean? Bavada he what? Was bo'ala woman. Therefore we would consider him to be a alman. So according to Rashi, what's the ikkar purpose for these halachos, in what is the definition of alman or almana? The whole purpose is whether or not the person had bia, whether or not the person was bowled by a woman, or the woman was bowled by a man. That's what the din is novea from. It's not novea from whether or not they were married technically. So, what would be an afkamina? A afkamina would be if someone became a widow before having bia. They leave the chuppah and husband passes out and dies. Right? So she never had the bia. So will we still consider it to be a almana? Right? So Rashi is just trying to stress the point that the ikker is whether or not he had bia, not whether or not he's a widower, in line with Tosfos. Okay. Vayter in the Gemara. Just to discuss that for a second, Rebbe also discussed that, well, was Rus a Nachris, right? Tosfos raya to this was the fact that she was not Jewish when she was married previously, right? And then she converted before marrying Boaz, right? When she came to Eretz Yisrael with Naomi, right? So all of the Rishonim say, Rashi says Ala Torah on Rus. Tosfos says right here, we gave many other Makoros, the Gemara in Yevama Sandaf Mem Zayin. All the dinim, a lot of the dinim of Geiris come from Rus. So, and that was after her husband died. So we know that she was not Jewish if she was converted. So many of the Rishonim learn that, or most learn that Rus was not Jewish when she was married to Machlon. Comes the Zohar and the Ibn Ezra and say, you mean to tell me that Machlon and Kilion, who were big tzaddikim, were married to non-Jews? No way. So what does it mean then that that Rus was a Nachri, right? What, how do all we learn all those halachos in Yevamos about Geirus from Rus? So the answer is that there's two types of Geirus. There's someone who converts L'shem Ishus, right, for the incorrect motives, right? They want to get married for the money, for or they want to convert for the money, for the fame, for the whatever, right? Doing for the wrong reasons. Or they're doing it L'shem Hashem. So when Rus converted originally, like before she married Mahlon, it was for the wrong reasons. Then, after Mahlon died, she converted again for the correct reasons. Right? Because the whole machlokes, whether or not someone who converts for the wrong reasons, do we recognize that gift? Yeah. That's a good question. Well, no, to answer this, she was Jewish. Right, but according to the other Rishonim, I don't know. Good question. That's a good question. Okay. Weiter. So, weiter in the Gemara. So we just proved that the whole source of Birchas Hasanim that it needs a minion is from a situation of an Alman marrying an Almona. So then, what did Rav Huna mean with that an Almona that marries an Alman does not get bracha? So my Anatuna bracha, the Amar Rav Huna, Anatuna bracha kol shiva, Natuna bracha all 7 days. She doesn't get sheva bracha. Aval Yom Echa Tuna bracha, but she does get 1 day of bracha. So then what did the Brisa mean when it says Shaktu Chachamim that she gets 3 days of Simcha? Right? You just told me she only gets 1 day of Bracha. So how do you put the two together? So, answers, the Gemara, two answers. Either we're talking about that an Amon is the one marrying the Amana, and an Amon who marries an Amana gets 1 day of bracha and shlosha the simcha because of shaktu, right? So it's only 1 day of bracha because it's an Amon, but you still get 3 days of simcha because it's because of shaktu. The Baisema, and another answer could be a bacher that marries the Amana, therefore they get shiva la bracha because it's a bacher, and they still get shlosha the simcha because of the shaktu for the girl. So here we have something that is definitely going to be on the Bechina. Here we have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, how to understand these two answers of the Gemara. Yeah, this is probably number 3 or 4 on number 1. So here we have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam quotes both of these answers in the Al-Chazaka. What does it mean he quotes both of these answers? That the Rambam considers both of these answers to be halacha l'maisa. In a situation, says the Rambam, when an Alman marries an Almana, they get echa l'bracha v'shlosha l'simcha. And also says the Rambam that when a bacher marries an Almana, they get shiva l'bracha and shlosha l'simcha. Says the Rashba, I disagree.
Almon and Almana, he says it's 3 in 1.
Almon and Almana, it's exactly what the Gemara says. And Almon marries an Almana is 1 for bracha and 3 l'simcha. And when a bacher marries, Almana, it's shiva l'bracha and shlosha l'simcha. The Rashba says, I disagree. The only answer that sticks is the first answer. that what? How do you make the last brisa work? It must be talking about a case of an amon that marries almana. You get echad the bracha and shlosh the simcha. But if a bachar were to marry an almana, what would be the din? Shiva the bracha and shiva the simcha. Machlokes Rambam and the Rashba. So we had many different nafkaminas that came from this. But before we get to the nafkaminas, just know that both opinions are brought down the Shulchan Aruch. The Chelkas Mechokek says that the minog is like the Rashba, that in a situation where an Alman marries an Almana, it would be Shiva, and a Bachar marries an Almana, it would be Shiva and Shiva. Okay. Good. Okay. Just to know, we have brought up Tosfos over here, right, with the Rashi about having kids is the ikker because it's whether or not you had bia. So just the son of the Nodi Behuda Paskins that if a bachar, meaning someone who was never married, however he had bia with someone, gets married to, let's say, an almana, right? So what would be the din? Would we consider that person like an almana, or would we consider him like a bachar, right? Because he was never married, but he did have bia. So the son of the Noda Behuda, I guess it's quoted in the Chubas of the Noda Behuda, Paskins that we would consider this person to be like an Almon, right? Because he had Bia, like based on this Rashi, I guess. The Samso Forever says that, is Makel, and says that we would allow these people to have Sheva Brachos, and we would not consider this person to be like an Almon because he technically was never married, even though he did have the Bia. So, halacha lemaisa, we are noheg like the Chassam Sofer, right? You don't want to embarrass anybody, so that's halacha lemaisa what we say. Yeah. Another good thing to know, just based on the Machlokas Rashba and the Rambam, we just said, that the Machlokas Rambam and Rashba, right? We said that according to the Rambam, if a bachar marries an almana, it's Shiva LeBracha and Shulchan LeSimcha, and when a bachar but according to the Rashba, when a bachar marries an almana, it's Shiva and Shiva. The Ran and the Rashbam explain that what's the difference between the Yimei Simcha and the Yimei Bracha. So, why do they have different numbers? Like, what's that all about? Says the Ran and the Rashbam, very important. They say that the Yimei Bracha were Mesukkah for the Chasan, and the Yimei Simcha were Mesukkah for the Kala. That's why we're the Kala, no matter what, is going to get her 3 days of Simcha to make sure that her husband doesn't get him go to work, even if there's only 1 day of Bracha. Yeah.
Bracha is for the Chasan and Simcha is for the Kala.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, good. So the when we say that there's only let's say by the case of the in all the cases, whenever we say Sheva Brachos, right? I'm sure that we all know this, that it's not Machlokes, but it's not mandatory that you need to make a seuda to have Sheva Brachos on each one of the days. Right? Like when a bachar or a basula gets married, and there's Sheva Brachos, there's not an obligation that you must make a seuda to have Sheva Brachos. It's that if you're having a seuda, then you would zog Sheva Brachos. So that is the way we are Nohig. As we're Shlomo Kluger Paskins. The Yad David writes that you are obligated, but that's not the way we Paskin. Okay. I'm sorry, the Tamilarid and Yonah say that it's optional, and the Yad David is the one that says that it is... the Yad David writes it's optional. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah write that it is a chiyuv. We paskin that it is optional. That's Shlomo Kluger. Okay. This next one is definitely going to be a question on the Bechina. It's number 10 in the booklet, but it very much connects back to the Machlokas, Rashba, and the Rambam. Again, we have a Machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba in a situation of a bachur marrying a almana. What's the din? Rambam says Shiva and Shlosha. The Rashba says Shiva and Shiva. And the Mechaber quoted both. Chakas Mechokek said that we are nohig like the Rashba. We have a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah about the Iser Malacha for a chasa. The Mechaber says that during Sheva Brachos, a chazan is not allowed to go to work. Or the Mechaber writes that a chazan should not go to work. The Ramah comments on the Mechaber and writes, chazan asr ba'asiyas malacha. A chazan is asr to do malacha. Question is, that's asked on the Ramah is, what did the Ramah add here? The Mechaber already said that he doesn't go to work during Sheva Brachos. So what did the Ramah add on by saying there's an Isser for him to go to work? And moreover, the Gra commenting on the Ramah right there says that what did the Ramah mean? He said what he said because Chasan Doma Lamelech. He quotes the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer of Chasan Doma Lamelech. And the question is what is the Ramah really adding on, and understanding the Gra better in this Machlokas Mechaber Ramah. So this Kasha is from the Chalkas Machlokas in the Beis Shmuel, by the way. Chalkas Machlokas is the one that asked, what is the Ramah adding on here? So the answer that the Chalkas Machlokas in the Beis Shmuel give is based on the Gra who said that Chasan Doma Lamelech. And the Iker Machlokas between the Mechaber Ramah is how to understand the element of Simcha during these days, right? What is the Simcha accomplishing? That is the Simcha simply just a way that the Chachamim wanted to, you know, do shakdu to protect the woman from her husband going to work? Or is it more than that? Or is it a din in Chasan Doma Lamelech? Right? So according to the Mechaber, it's a din in the woman making sure that she gets the simcha she deserves from her chasan. According to the Ramah, it's more than that. It's Chasan Doma Lamelech. We want to say... two nafkaminas, or Shmuel Rizovsky wants to say two nafkaminas in this machlokas. That according to the Mechaber, who says that it's just an inshakdu, right? And that's why he says the chasan just doesn't do malacha, because the inshakdu that he has to celebrate with his new wife, says to Shmuel Rizovsky, but let's say there's a work, there's some sort of heavy labor that the wife really wants the chasan to do. Right? Honey, can you install the new air conditioner? Can you move the furniture? Can you, all this makes it really schmitzy. Are you allowed to do that for your wife? According to the Mechaber, yes, because it's an inshakdu. It's up to the woman. Does she, it's all about her simcha. So according to the Mechaber, if it's all about her simcha, so then gezut her head, if it makes her happy, then go for it. However, according to the Ramah, who says that it's a din in Chasan Dom Lamelech, so that intrinsically the man is not allowed to do malacha. Since the man is not allowed to do malacha, so therefore even if the woman wants him to do it, he's still not allowed to do it. Got that? First afkamina. Second afkamina is, would the woman allow her husband to, can she do mechila? Can she say, you know what? Go to work. Bring home the bacon. Right? Go to work. I don't need you at home. Can she be mocha? So if it's all novea from her, like says the Mechaber, and the way the Bishmuv and the Chokas from Chokas bring Masber, according to the Mechaber, that it's all a din in Shakdu, that it's up to the woman, so then she can be mocha, because it's all up to her. Although, if you hold, like the Ramah, that it's a din in Chasin Domo Lamelech, so then even if the woman says, I'm mocha, go to work, he still would not be allowed to because it didn't him not being able to work. Chasin Domo Lamelech. This we said, Shmuel Rezovsky said, could be the Ikra Machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Ikra Machlokas, Rambam and the Rashba, is what is the element of Simcha for a Chasin and Kala? What is that Novea from? What does that stem from? According to the Rambam, who says that in a case where a Bachar marries an Almana, it all stems from the girl. So what does an Almana get? She gets 3 days of Simcha, right? Because Shaktu Chama, Tikkanos B'Shol, she is a Mechim HaShol Shiyam. Right? In order to set the Chasin, she doesn't go to work the next day, so he stays and hangs out with his wife. So it's all a din in the woman. Whether or not she is getting that element of Simcha in the marriage. However, according to the Rashba, who says what? Who says that if a Bachar marries Almana, what's the din? According to the Rashba, 7 and 7. So then, why is it 7 for Simcha? Because it has nothing to do with girl. It's Chasan Dom Lamelech. Right? The Lashon of the Rashba is, you mean to tell me that there's going to be Sheva Brachos and then he's just going to go to work? Chasan Dom Lamelech. The Rashba himself says it. So, let's review this, because it's definitely going to be on the Bechina. It's very, very important. We have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, how to read the bottom line on Zion and Bedal. When in a case of a Bachar marrying an Almana, basically, are the two answers arguing on each other, or are they in agreement? So according to the Rashba, they're arguing on each other. Therefore, in a situation where a Bachar marries an Almana, what would be the din? Tell me. According to the Rashba, Bachar marries an Almana, what's the din? 7 and 7. According to the Rambam, what's the din? 7 and 3. That's Machlokas, Rashba, and the Rambam. How do we paskin? We paskin like the Rashba, says the Chokas Machlokas. Okay? We have another Machlokas between the Machaber and the Rambam. Machaber says that during Sheva Brachos, a man is not supposed to do malacha. What does the Ramah add on? Tell me. Chasan aser the asiyas malacha. Ask the Chalkus Mechokin in the Bishmuel, what? What did the Ramah add on? The Machaber just said the same thing. Got me so far?
Chalkus
Mechokin
and
Bishmuel. Yeah. Got me so far?
That's where Shmuel is asking.
No.
Somebody else?
It's one of the Nosei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch. Got it so far? What's the answer of the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkus Mechokek? Based on the Gra who comments on that Ramah. That when the Rama says the chasam is aser be'asiyas melacha. The Gra adds on because chasam doma lamela. That's why chasam is aser be'asiyas melacha. Says the Bishmul Chachim Chokek. That's what the Rama is adding. The Rama is adding on that simcha during Sheva Brachos is not a din in making the woman happy. It's a din in the man. The man is Doma LaMelech, therefore he has his own element of simcha. It doesn't have anything to do with the woman. Give me two nafkaminas. Again, according to the Mechaber, it says, the Chavis Mechokek, the whole idea, the whole takana of simcha is to be misameach the woman. According to the Rama, it's a din in chasan doma lamelech. Therefore, it's all a din in being misameach in the man having his own simcha. It's nothing to do with the woman. It's a fundamental machlokas, machaber Rama. What is simcha all about? Is it about the woman or is it about the man? What give me an afkaminas. Two afkaminas. Can she be mocha? According to the Mechaber, can she be mocha? Yes. Why? Because she's the one who's in charge. According to the Rama, can she be mocha? No. Because why? Who's in charge? Chasan doma lamelech. Another nafka mina. Work to do that gives her simcha. Can he do it? Tell me. Why? Explain it. Chasan doma lamelech, therefore, there you go. Exactly. So, says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, what? This machlokas machaber Rama, what is it really based on? Or no, he says rather, this machlokas is really the ikar machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam. What was the machlokas Rashba and Rambam? Come on. What's the machlokas?
Rashba says 7 and 7.
What's 7 and 7? What's 7 and 7? Bachar Talmana is Shiva. Shiva Bracha, Shiva Simcha. According to the Rambam, what's the din? Shloshal Simcha. Why is it, according to the Rambam, Shloshal Simcha, says Rosh Shmuel Rizovsky? Because it's her Simcha. Exactly. Shaktu. Why, says Rosh Shmuel Rizovsky, does the Rashba say that she gets Shiva, that it's Shiva the Simcha? Because why? It's a din in what? It's a din in. Rashba. Shiva the Simcha is a din in what? Tell me, Yaakov. According to the Rashba, Rashi Mozovsky says this is the Igramach Lokas in the Rambam and the Rashba. So tell me, why is it the Igramach Lokas, Rambam and Rashba? Again, Rambam says Shiva and Shlosha. Rashba says Shiva and Shiva. So why does Rashba have more Simcha than the Rambam does? Why does Rambam say only 3 days of Simcha? Tell me.
The Rambam holds like the Machaber.
Exactly. Why? What? Tell me the Lamdas.
That it's based on her simcha and her.
And we have a din what? By Almana? The din of Shaktu. Shaktu that she gets only 3 days. That's why in that situation she gets 3 days. Tell me the lumpness of the Rashba. Why does the Rashba say seven? Because
he's holding like the Rama that it's
Chasan Doma Lamelech. And therefore it has nothing to do with her. I don't care about Shaktu. Got it? That's the Malach we had in this Machlokas in the Rambam and the Rashba, and the Machlokas in the Mechaber and the Rama. Is Simcha a din in Chasan Doma Lamelech, or is it a din to make her happy? Okay. Okay. Let's see. All right, let's go weiter in in the Gemara. Mesve. Mavarchin the Besula Shiva Vila Amana Yom Echad. We have a braisa that tells us that a Besula gets Sheva Brachos and an Almana gets one day of Bracha. My lava fina Almana Shanasa Labachar. It just said Almana. So that would mean even what? Even an Almana that marries a Bachar. Right? So why did the braisa just tell us that it's only one day of Bracha? It should really be what? 7, because it's a Bachar. So low. No. La Almon. Avala ba right. Shanisa la bachar lo la alma again. My lava fina amala shanasa la bachar lo. La alma avala bachar my shiva. So no, it's talking about an alma. Meaning that price was talking about an alma. But if she were to marry a bachar, it'd be shiva. So then Iyaki listening to Bachar the Basula Shiva Vlamana Shanisa's the Bachar Shiva Vlamana Yom Echad. So then it should have just said straight out. Right, that makes sense. So it should have just said straight out though, that in a situation where she's marrying a Bachar, she gets 7. In a situation where she's marrying an Amon, she gets 1. Why didn't it just say that an Amon gets 1? No, Lav Davka she gets 1. It could be she gets 7. Says Gemara. Milsa psikta katan. It's a shorter lashon that the Bryce wanted to use. Taleka basula debritza meshiva, taleka amana debritza miyomecha. Because there's never a situation where a basula will not be getting sheva, and there's never a situation where an amana will not be getting at least 1. I mean, she could get more. She could get up to 7, but she'll definitely at least get 1. That's what the Bryce was talking in limits. Okay. Vita. Vita in the Gemara. Gufa Amaram Nachman Armelihuna Barnasad. Tana minayin lebirkas asani ba'asara shenamar. Okay, so Rav Nachman says that how do I know minayin lebirkas asani ba'asara? How do we know that birkas asani requires a minyan? Shenamar v'yikachas aranashim mizikne ir v'yomer shvu po. Because the pasuk says that Boaz took a minyan from the Zikna Ha'ir and told them sit here because he was about to do Birkas Hasanim. Rabbi Bo Ober Mahacha. Rabbi Bo argues on Rav Nachman and says, no, we learn it from this pasuk. B'makeilos Baruchu Elokim Hashem B'mekoy Yischoyel. We learn it from the pasuk of that B'makeilos in groups we bless Hashem from the depths of Yisrael. For Rav Nachman, Bahai Kra, the Rabbi Abo, my Darish Bey. What does Rav Nachman do with this pasuk of Rabbi Avohu? Mibayalele Kitanya. He learns it for the following lesson. Haya Reb Meir Omer, Minayin She'afilu Ubarim She'meimon Amru Shir Aliyam. How do we know that the fetus, what is the plural of fetus? Fetuses? Fidai. How do we know? How do we know that they were even singing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their mother's wombs when they were leaving Mitzrayim? Shana Amar B'Mekahelos Baruch Hu Elokim B'Mekoy Yisroel. From the depths, right? Even from inside the wombs they were singing to Hashem. Vidach, and so now what is Vidachim Kain Lemakra Mibeta. Oh, Rabbi Vo says back to Rav Nachman, if that's the case, then it should have said B'makelos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mibeten Yisrael. Not Mimakor. Should have said from the stomachs. My Mimakor? Al Iske Makor. No. What does Makor mean? Says Rabbi Vo. It doesn't mean from their stomachs. It means Al Iske Makor. Things that have to do with the the foundation, the depths of Am Yisrael, which is what? A man and a woman getting married. Right? That's why he uses that drasha to show that you need to have a minyan at Birchas Hasan. So what does Rabbi Abo do with the pasuk that Rav Nachman brought? What was the pasuk of Rav Nachman? Boaz. V'yikach Boaz asar anashim v'yom alem shvupo. Music me here v'yom alem shvupo. Yeah? So what does Rabbi Abo do with that? Ahu mi bayle le midrash amoni v'lo amonis moavi v'lo moavis. Rabbi Abo used that pasuk to learn that to learn the din of amoni v'lo amonis, moavi v'lo moavis, that a female person from Ammon or Moab can come into to Am Yisrael, but not a male. These hakadat lebracha, because if you thought that this that pasuk was referring to bracha. Lo saga delav zakenim. Wouldn't it be enough that it wasn't zakenim? Meaning, why did Boaz have to take zakenim if all it was just for a minion? Could have taken anybody. V'idach isagadad in the midrash lo saga delav asara. So then, and Rav Nachman says back to Rav Abo that, well, according to you, why do you need to have 10 people there to make a drasha? You don't need 10 people just to make a drasha, right? So Rabbi Boaz is back. No, I really do need, because the parsumi mosa. In order to say over a din and let it be known, you need to have a minyan there. Yida amar le Shmuel le Rav Chana Bagdasa, hok the icily bay asara. Shmuel said to Rav Chana Bagdasa, go get me 10 people. Ve'imelcha ba'amfehu. Because I want to say halacha in front of them. Hamazak l'uber kana. The din of mazak l'uber kana. Thilchaza mazak l'uber lo kana. And the halacha is hamazak l'uber not kana. So let's back up a minute and do some of the things that will vaday be on the bechina, the important things to know. Okay. So okay. All right. This is number 15. What is the machlokas and rishonim regarding birchas erisin? Right, this whole sugya is discussing birchas hasanim, that it requires a minyan. How do we know that birchas erisin, does that require a minyan? Does it not require a minyan? So this is brought down in the Rush, and the Rush brings down a machlokas between. The Rosh brings down the machlokas between Rav Shmuel Hanagid and Rav Achai Gon. The Rav Achai Gon says that you need a minyan for Birchas Erisin, and Rav Shmuel Hanagid says that you do not require a minyan by Birchas Erisin. That's an important machlokas and Rishonim to know. We are nohei to have a minyan. We're knowing to have a minyan. We're going to see actually right now in this top Tosis over here that the Pnei Yeshua actually uses this machlokas to answer Tosos Kasha. So let's see the Tosos. B'makayelis Baruch Elokim. Says Tosos, Avagav de makayelos tre kihilos mashma. The word makayelos sounds like what? Sounds like there's two kihilos. Right? So Ein Svar L'Chalik bin Asar L'Esrim Leinin Shom Elsa. So Tosa says, don't tell me that this is now coming to tell you that you need 20 people by Birchas Hasanim. No way. Umakelos de Ama by Lemaimar. So the first answer of Tosos is that Makelos de Ama is just coming to say, you know, the Ganza Klal Yisrael. Ganza Klal Yisrael gives you blessing, gives blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Umiyu, and another answer, Birushami Darish Mikalas. Of Chazar Vav. It writes it without the Vav, means it's not plural anymore. So those are two answers that Tosus gives. A third answer we can give, says the Pnei Yeshua, is based on this machlokas between the Shmuel HaNagid and Rav HaChaigon. That according to Shmuel HaNagid, who doesn't require a minion, so you'll answer like Tosos, but according to Rav HaChaigon, who requires a minion by Berachas Erisin, what does Makelos mean? Means one kahal for Berachas Nesuin and one for Berachas Erisin. Very simple. Okay. Let's say over the Mahalach from the Mahalach from the Brisker Rav that Rebbe quoted in Shir about the Geiris of Rus and this and the whole story. Yeah, number 19. Okay.
This is also going to be a big one.
I assume it's going to be like part of a question on the Bechina. Like probably, I would if I had to guess. Okay. So the Goel, right, Ploni Almoni, didn't want to have Yibam with Rus. And what was his reasoning? His reasoning was is because he didn't know this drasha of Almoni below Almonis, right? So therefore he didn't want to do it. And what was his reasoning? His reasoning was because I don't want to mess up my kids. So I asked the Brisker Rav, well, what about himself? By marrying her, he's also going to mess up himself by being over in his sister. So why not care about himself? And the second question the Brisker Rav asks is that the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Vav has a whole discussion over there about the lineage of David HaMelech. And basically it's going through a whole back and forth using drashas, right, Doeg, right, all the drushes, I forget all the details. And then, I think it was Doeg who finally said, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, amoni v'lo amoni. It wasn't? Who was it? It was, I have it, one second.
Doeg was the one who kept shooting
him down. Right. Yeah, no, you're right. So here I have it. Yeah, it was Avner? Okay, so I'm not sure who it was. Right. So he girded his sword and said, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, almoni v'lo amonis. So therefore, we have no issues with the lineage of David HaMelech. So, asked the Brisker Rav, why did it take that long? Why did it take so long for, why, just because he said, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, ad kan. Right? So says the Brisker Rav to answer both kashas like this. He says that, the Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Parish of Mishnayos, he has five categories of the Torah. The Perushim HaMikubalim. A Perushim HaMikubal is like, it's a line in the Torah that every single person throughout history, from Moshe Rabbeinu on down, has the same exact understanding of that pasuk. What would be an example of that? Ayin Tachas Ayin. Ayin Tachas Ayin, every single person, from Moshe Rabbeinu on down, agrees Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mammon, not actual I. Another example is V'lakachtem lechem pri etz hadar, kafos tamar, arve nachal. That, everyone agrees, means lulav esrog adas marobos. Everyone agrees. Those are pirushim in mekubalim. There's not so many in the Torah. Probably, you know, a dozen or two, that's it. That's the din. Pirushim mekubalim. Rambam says the second category is halachah Moshe Mesinai. What's halachah Moshe Mesinai? Halachah Moshe Mesinai is not explaining a pasuk. It's, for example, the tefillin have to be black. Never says anywhere in the Torah that tefillin have to be black. There's not even a hint in the Torah that tefillin have to be black. So how do we know? Straight up halachah Moshe Mesinai. So the difference between Perushim and Mekubalim, halachah Moshe Mesinai is what? Whether or not you can read it in the text. Right? Perushim and Mekubalim, yes. Halachah Moshe Mesinai, no. Number three, this makes up the bulk of Torah Shebaal Peh. What's number three? Drashos. The Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Shehatorna Drashos Ben. Right? Gzeira Shavos, Kalva Chomers, the Drashos. That's the third level. What's the major difference between the Perushim and Mekubalim and the Halacha Moshe Mesinai on one side against Drashos? What's the big difference? We have a din that by a drasha, as long as you're fitting within the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Drashos Behen, another door can disagree with the din from a previous door. Right? You're not allowed to be Oker a Takana, but if it's just how to understand a din, so one Amora can learn a drasha one way, and a different Amora from a different generation can learn a drasha a different way. Or a Tana against a Tana from different generations can each understand a pasuk a different way as long as it's within the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nedrashos Behen. Right? However, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, no one can disagree with. Perushim Mekubalim, no one can disagree with. So the Goel, Ploni Almoni, says the Brisker, Ploni Almoni thought that Almoni v'lo Almonis was what? Was a drasha. So therefore, he wasn't concerned about himself, because right now, Beis Din is poskening that it's mutter. But who knows, in 2-3 generations from now, maybe they'll reread the pasuk and say, you know what, that's not the din. And now his kids are going to be messed up. So that's why, says the Brisker, he was worried about his kids. And he wasn't worried about himself, because right now, for himself, it's mutter. But for his kids, it would mess up their lineage. And that's why Boni Almoni didn't want to do it. Because he didn't want to mess up his kid, but not himself, because for himself it's mutter. Because he thought that it was a drasha. Kamash Malan, it's a halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, not a gzeir sakosav, it's a halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. And to answer the second question, that why did it take someone to girt their sword and say halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and that's it, final say? Nothing wrong with Dovah Melech's lineage, because up until then, there was room to pilpul. Once you say Halacha Moshe Mesinai, there's no more room to pilper. There's nothing you can say to that. Halacha Moshe Mesinai is the final set. Nothing you can answer to that. That's the Mahalach of the Brisker Rav. It is, I'd say, a 80% chance it's going to end up on the Pechina. Okay. Let's do this big Tosos. Not big. Whatever. Let's do this Tosos about Mizakla Uber Lokana. This also could be a question on the Bechina of the whole Mahalach of Mizakal Uber Lokana and Machna Dover Shlo Bali Olam. Yeah. Okay. So Mizakal Uber Lokana. Avagav, says Tosos. Avagav. The Shmuel Gufa Pasuk Rabbi Yochanan Asan Lar, even though Shmuel himself paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Asan Lar, the Hamakdish Maise Yidei Ishto Hamoser Chulin the Ein Adam Makdish Davar Shelo Baliolam. That Shmuel himself, right? Shmuel said Mazak Luber Kana. So Tosa saying that, yeah, but Shmuel himself paskins ain't all the makdish davar shalob aliyola. The kol shekain the davar shalob aliyola. The gar it's fei. And Tosa says that in kol shekain, meaning you're not allowed to be makdish, you're not allowed to be makdish or kana, something that is not in the world right now, a thing that's not in the world right now. Kol shekain says Tosa, you're not allowed to sell something or acquire something for someone who is not in the world right now, right? Like I'm gonna say, for my future child, I want to give X and Y Yerusha. That's not anything. The child's not in the world. Obviously, you're not allowed to. So, saying it's a culture game that if you're not allowed to sell something that is not in the world, like the fruit that is going to grow on my tree, so then certainly I'm not allowed to sell to a person who is not in the world. That even Rameyer, who holds a person can sell something to another person that is not in the world, meaning that the object is not in the world, says Rameyer that a person is not allowed to sell something to another person who is not in the world, that the person, the recipient, is not in the world. So the kash of Tosas is what? Kash of Tosas is what did Shmuel just say? Shmuel just said, Hamazaka l'uber kana. And we just brought all these makoros in Gittin that say that even if you hold other makdavar shalob aliyolam, aval, you are not allowed to be makdav to a thing that is not in the world. Here, what are you doing? Mazaka l'uber kana. You are being mazaka to an uber. That's something that is not in the world. And according to Shmuel, he's saying it works. And Shmuel paskind ain't other makdavar shalob aliyolam. So, Steer and Shmuel. So what's Tosas' answer? Tosas gives two answers. Number one, Mikol Makom Shmuel Chashiv Uber Ba Liolam. Number one, Shmuel says that an Uber is considered to be in the world. What does it mean that the Uber is considered to be in the world? Because, you know, after 40 days, up until 40 days, a Uber is considered to be Maya, Ba'alma. It's considered to be like water. But after that, it's real. Right? It's a real person. You wouldn't allow to get an abortion. Right? Because it's a real person. So therefore, since it's considered to be in the world, so it doesn't fall under the category of Enal Dematna Lidavar Shlo Baliola. That's first answer. Second answer, Inami Shmuel Islay Tzvei Adamakna Lidavar Shlo Baliola. Ema Shemakna Davar Shlo Baliola. Second answer is Shmuel holds the opposite of what we thought originally. Right? The first answer keeps the premise. What's the premise? The premise is that you are not allowed to sell to something that is not in the world. Says the second answer that you are allowed to sell to something that's not in the world. It blows up the premise. And according to Shmuel, even though Shmuel paskins ain't on the makna davar shalob aliyolam, you're not allowed to sell an object that is not in the world. You are allowed to sell to something that is not in the world. And we're going to get back to those two answers. We're going to see that those two answers argue on how to understand the whole din of ain't on the makna davar shalob aliyolam. We're going to see. But let's just finish the Tosos. Vahi sugya the parakaima the gittin, and in the first paragraph of gittin, as eliba the rafuna, the chen matzinu of nachman the behedya tirasa hafukam the rafuna. The rafuna is the paris dekel, the paris of a palm tree. Mishabo la olam en yachalachzerbo. We got a uber ka'amar av lekishiteled lo kana. Rav Nachman zaver lekishiteled kana ubeperes degel ka'amar av mishabo la olam yachalachzerbo. Then Tosas just brings up the Gemara that it brings up the machlokes in Rav Huna and Rav Nachman that it's exactly it's an opposite. They mamash hold the opposite of each other. That the Gemara is discussing two cases. Case number one: you sell something that you sell a fruit tree with its fruit. The fruit are not yet there, right? It's you're selling something that does not yet exist in the world. Can the person who bought it go back on the deal? Can he say, you know what, I don't want to buy the fruit anymore? Right? So, up until it comes into the world, so according to everyone, yeah, why not? I mean, a deal, you can go back on it. Once it comes into the world, though, can you go back on it? So, Rav Huna says, you are not allowed to go back on it. Once the payers come into the world, you're not allowed to go back on it. Rav Nachman Paskins that once the payers come, even if the payers come into the world, you are allowed to go back on it. Basically, according to Rav Nachman, even though we say Ein Adam Makdav Shlo B'Liolam, that means that even when it does end up coming to the world, that original sale was not a good sale. According to Rav Huna, the original sale was a good sale. Because now that it's in the world, you can't go back on it. The next case that Gemara discusses is being mocked as something to an Uber. That once the child is born, can you go back on it? Can you say, never mind, I don't want to sell it to him anymore. I don't want it to be his, I want it to be mine. So, according to Rav Huna, you are allowed to do that. And according to Rav Nachman, you're not allowed to do that. So what's the machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Nachman? Which is worse? Which has less of a foundation in halacha? Is Ein Adam Machne Davar Shlo Bali Olam have less the foundation than Ein Adam Machne Li Davar Shlo Bali Olam? Right? Meaning, is there more of a sale when someone sells a future? Or is it more of a sale when someone sells something to a future? That's not focus or phone or not. Fine. So this whole, and this is numbers 20, 21, 22, that when we say Ein Adam Machne Davar Shlo Bali Olam, what is the issue with that? What is the issue with selling a future? So there's two chesronos we said. We have a din that every single kinyan in halacha requires what? Tell me. And every single kinyan in halacha requires three things. What does it require? And a maisa kinyan. Right? Machne, das machne, das kona, and a maisa kinyan. Right? Maisa kinyan, there's many types. There's meshicha, there's hagbah, there's mesira. Right? There's kinyan zuder, kinyan halipin, kinyan kesef, kinyan shtar. What? Oh. So, by Ein Adam Machne Davar Shlo Bali Olam, what is the chesaron? There's two chesaronos here, right? It's either a chesaron in das, right? That one of us is clearly doesn't have complete das because the thing isn't even in the world. Like, this is a joke. So there's either na das kona or na das machne. And the second chesaron that could be is, it's not necessarily a lack of das, because maybe they're both very serious about it, but it's a lack in maisa. It's a lack in maisa kinyan. According to the first answer of Tosos, what were Tosos' two answers? That according to Shmuel, who holds Ein Adam Machne Davar Shlo Bali Olam, here the Uber is Bali Olam. That's why you're allowed to do it. So according to Tosos, his first answer, what's the chisaron of Ein Adam Machne Davar Shlo Bali Olam? It's a chisaron in what? Das. Because now that the Uber is in the world, so since we're both here, we can have that meeting. Meaning technically the Uber doesn't know how to use its brains, but theoretically it's in the world, therefore it does have that theoretical das. Since it has that theoretical das, I have the ability to be zoche for him. I could do mezakalu Uber. It would be kana according to Shmuel, because he's in the world, right? And the object is in the world. According to the second answer of Tosfos, what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says the whole premise was wrong. Tosfos says that, according to Shmuel, a person is allowed to be machna to a thing that is not in the world. Right? You're allowed to be machna to something that is not in the world. So Tosfos is saying that according to Shmuel, Ein adam machna li davar shelo ba liolam is very different than adam machna, the ein adam machna davar shelo ba liolam. It's very different. Being machna to something that is not the world is different than being machna a thing that is not the world. So therefore, says Tosos, and being machna to something that is not the world is fine. So says Tosos, what is the whole issue of ein adam machna davar shelo ba liolam in the second Heretz? It's an whole issue in the Maisa. It's a whole issue in Maisa. Because otherwise, if there is a Maisa here, so then you should be able to be machna something to... Right? What is Shmuel saying? Islay tzve adam machna v'shalo b'liolam. You're allowed to be machna to something that is not in the world, as long as the object is in the world. Right? So there's still a Maisa. Right? You're being zoker for the thing, even though it's not in the world, because Shmuel says you're allowed to do it for something that's not in the world. So since you are being kona that object for that person, so you have that Maisa. If you didn't have the Maisa, so then it wouldn't work. According to the first there, it has nothing to do with the Maisa, it has to do with the Das. Therefore, Tosfos needs to stand on his head and say, according to Shmuel, the Uber is considered to be in the world. That's a mahalach that Rebbe had. Okay. All right, let's see the Tosfos, the Ramasal Shenamar. I just want to get out the right sheet. Where did we have the thing about, was it in number 3? About Eliezer and Chazara number 3, number 6. I want to just jump to that. You don't have number 3, so you can take mine. What? Yeah. I got one tomorrow. What? I'll make a photocopy from you. You can like write on it and stuff, it doesn't matter. Just don't write over the words. Okay. Okay. So let's read. This is definitely going to be a question on the Bechina. No doubt about it.
6?
Yeah. Okay. Tosfos Dir Masel Shenamar says... Tosfos, Shenamar v'yikach boaz asar anashim. Says Tosfos, Mesachas Kala demaisi kra diyuvarchu es Rivka. What is the Braisa in Mesachas Kala Rabasi say? Let's get it out. In Avodah Zarah, in the back of Avodah Zarah, you have all of the Mesachas Kitanis, right? This one's missing. You have all the Mesachas Kitanis. So in the back of Avodah Zarah, you have Maseches Kala Rabasi. Says the Braisa, Minayin leberchas chasanim min ha-Torah. How do we know berchas chasanim from the Torah? Shenemar v'yavarchu es Rivka. From the pasuk v'yavarchu es Rivka. Our Gemara brought the pasuk of v'yikach boaz asar anashim to teach what? To teach that there's a requirement of a minyan. But the requirement in general, Berchas Hasanim in HaTorah, is from V'yivarchu es Rivka. Okay? So says Tosfos, Mesachas Kala demaisi kra V'yivarchu es Rivka, Ika lemeimar dehasam Berchas Erisin, V'halka Berchas Nesuin. So basically, Tosfos is just saying that, well, why do we even need the pasuk of V'yivarchu es Rivka? Let's just learn it from V'yikach boaz asar anashim. Meaning, if we're learning it to teach that it requires a minyan, so if it requires a minyan, the memela, it also means that there's a requirement. Right? Why don't we just learn the whole institution of Birchas Hasanim from Boaz? What are we learning from Boaz in the Gemara? that you need a minion. Well, why don't you just learn the entire institution from Boaz? Right? Of Birchas Hasanim. Right? Why do we need the Pasuk V'yivarcho Shrifka? So Tosfos answers, he says, Ikala Meimar Dehasam Birchas Erisin. Over there, it's Birchas Erisin, not Birchas Hasuin. V'alcha Birchas Hasuin. And here, this is the Makor for Birchas Hasuin. What's the major issue with that line in Tosfos? That the Braita said, Minayim Birchas Hasanim. Tosfos wants to say that's talking about Birchas Erisin. Okay. Fine. V'yishlomon misham, and now Tosfos is going on a little bit of a sidetrack. He's saying that, and we can even learn from there, that, right, we're saying that Birchas Erisin was done by Eliezer, right? So he's saying that that means that Yishlom Misham Levarich Birchas Erisin Lisham Mikdash Zayid Shliach, right? So we know from there that when a shliach goes to be Makadosh a woman for you, the shliach says Birchas Erisin, right? Shari Eliezer Shliach Haya, because Eliezer was a shliach. V'nira Da'asmach the Ba'almehi Da'asara. The Asara lo mismasha mehasam velo ayir pshita the krab birchas erisin. He says that it can't be. It's an asmachta. Can't be that we know birchas erisin from there and birchas asuin from here. That's why you need to have them separate. Fine. But this whole idea of the fact that Eliezer did the kiddushin for Rivka, the issue that we brought up is a very poshut one. That there's a machlokes between forgot who the machlokes is between. I think it's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Could even be it's in the Gemara, I forgot. But there's a machlokes of Can an Eved be a shliach le can a Eved be a shliach le holacha by getting? So I'm pretty sure by shliach le holacha, everyone paskins that a shliach le holacha. Everyone paskins shliach lekabbalah. Everyone paskins no. Shliach lekabbalah is the machlokes, right? So according to the one who says, I forgot who, I really have to chazer. According to the one who says no, according to the one who says yes, would that be the same din by kiddushin? Can you have a shliach leholacha for kiddushin? To use your eved kenani to be a shliach leholacha, right? To go and do kiddushin for you, and you allow your eved kenani to do that. So this is the machlokas in the Beis Shmuel and the Avni Meluya. So according to the one who says that you are not allowed to, meaning if you paskin that, you're not allowed to have your Eved Kenani be a shliach leholacha for kiddushin. So then, how did Avram Avinu use Eliezer to be the shliach to do the kiddushin with Rivka? Right? That's the kasha. So, first answer we said was, oh, very pashut. This marriage was a marriage between Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach are allowed to use they don't have the same dinim of Erisin and Nisuin and Gittin that Bnei Yisrael do. Therefore, since this is talking about Bnei Noach, B'nai Noach would be allowed to use a Eved Kanayin. Briskerov slugs up that answer. What does the Briskerov say? Briskerov says that that answer is not a good answer because we're learning out a din from that union of Eliezer marrying Rivka, doing the Kiddushin with Rivka. We learn out dinim that apply to us, and we're B'nai Yisrael. It must be that that was a Kiddushin between B'nai Yisrael, not between B'nai Noah. So Briskerov slugs up the first answer. Next answer he wanted to say was based on the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid has a Havamina that Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo is not only a din in Dine Mominus. It's even a din in Isurim or Mitzvahs. What would be a Nafkamina? If I pay a non-Jewish worker to put up my fence around my roof, I can even make a bracha ala siyas maika. Right? I have a good riddle for you guys. When's the only time someone would make a bracha when making a sukkah? What? When your sukkah's on your roof. Yeah, but isn't that, it's a track, no?
But does the maka have to be permanent?
Maka does have to be permanent, yeah.
So you can't say permanent.
Why?
Sukkah can't be permanent.
Because a sukkah...
Can't be permanent.
No, the scuff just has to be taken down from year to year, but the actual walls don't have to be. For sure, every single sukkah in Eretz Yisrael is permanent.
People have retractable roofs.
Yeah. So, it's a good joke, right? So, so says the Tosfos Rid that we see Yad Eved Ki Yad Baal HaBayis applies even to Isser V'Heter, right? Therefore, Avram Avinu made Eliezer Yitzchak's Eved, so Eliezer was able to do the Kiddushin with Rivka because Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. We schlugged up that answer because the Tosfos Rid backs out of it. And at the end of the day, Tosfos Rid himself paskins that Yad Eved Ki Yad Baal HaBayis is only a din in Dine Mominus. So the last answer we gave, which is the answer of the Gevurah Yitzchak, quoting the Medrash Tanhuma and the Meshech Chachma, that Avram Avinu was Meshacher Eliezer Al Tanai Limafreim. That he said to Eliezer, I'm going to Meshacher you Al Tanai, that you go and get Kiddushin for my son. And that Meshacher is going to be Lemafreya. That it's kind of like Mehayom. From today, you are going to be a free man if you go and do Kiddushin for my son. Right? So, that means that by the time they came back home, right, with the wife, so then Eliezer was never a Eved Kanani Lemafreya. So therefore, he was able to do the Kiddushin for Yitzchak. That's the answer we ended up with. That it was a. He gave him a get shechur lemafreya al tanai. What?
That was not allowed.
Why not? Why not? You can give him a get to be Al Tanai Lamafreya. I mean, you'd have to Mazan in her during it.
So, you know, it was different dates to get from.
Yeah, that's a get mucked up. But this is not a get mucked up. Yeah, this is the mucked up.
That's, but then I asked Rabbi, I said, but there's an Isser in the Torah, so it's an Isser essay, to be Mashachar, right? The Torah says you have to keep your Eved in a state of servitude, right? You have to keep your Eved in a state of servitude. Mashma, that there's an Isser to be Mashachar your Eved. So he said that you see many times in Shas that Mishum Puruvu or Makel, and there's a heter to be Mishachar your Eved. So that's what happened here. This is Lashem Puruvu.
No matter what,
Puruvu was already a mitzvah at the time. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. Let's. Fine. Let's see more questions that might come up on the Mishnah. Okay, we did shear one. Shear two. Let's see. Shear two. Okay. Okay. This is possible it's going to be on the Bechina. It's one of Rebbe's favorite shtickle Torahs. He's already said it, I think, 5 times this year. So we better know it, right? Number four. Shear two. Maha Isser. Arusa lebala, ten es hakesher bin ten es hakesher lematza shmura be'erev Pesach. We have a machlokas between. I'm just gonna grab a sucking can. My throat really hurts. 1 second.
What?
Okay. So we'll take a 2 minute break. All right. So what are we? What are we saying here? What number are we on? Cheer what?
Cheer two.
Oh, okay, fine. Thanks. Number four in cheer two is what is the Isser of a Arusa being with her Arus? So Rov Rishonim say that it is an Isser Derabban. Rov Rishonim, the Rabban, the Rashba, Rov Rishonim say, the Shita Mikveh, everyone says that it is only an Isser Derabban. However, the Rashba on our daf quotes the Ravid, who says that an Arusa being with her Arus is an Isser D'Oraisa. No one paskins like this Ravid. All the bos can paskin like Rov Rishonim. All chamais we paskin like Rov Rishonim. We first dug up one of the poskim that paskin like the Ravid. The Gemara at the end of Psachim writes that anyone who has that it is an Isser to have Shmura Matz on Erev Pesach, and the Isser is Kibol Arusasa Bebe Savia. It's Azri Shmura Matz on Erev Pesach, and it's similar to as if a man is with her Kala while she's still living at her father's house. What's the parallelism? Because it's, you know, it just wait a little bit and you'll be able to be together. So say the postgame, oh, just like how being with your kala bebe savias and Isser Derabanan, so too eating shmur matz and erev Pesach is only Isser Derabanan, which makes a lot of sense. Why would eating shmur matz and erev Pesach be Isser Daraisa? Therefore, it's a good parallel. However, the pre chadash, what? That's all the poskim. However, the pre chadash writes that eating shmur matz and erev Pesach is an Isser Daraisa. So everyone asked on the Pre-Chadosh, where did he get that from? Where did the Pre-Chadosh get that it's an Issur D'Oraisa to eat Shmur Matzah on Erev Pesach? Where would you get that from? So Rav Hirsch said he got it from the Ravid. And it's a clean parallel, because the Ravid, because what did the Gemara say? It's Kabol Arusas Beis Aviyah. And the Ravid Paskin, that what? It's an Issur D'Oraisa to be with your Kala. So the Pre-Chadosh is passing me like the Ravid, who holds that it's an Issur D'Oraisa to be with their Kala, therefore, it's an Issur D'Oraisa to eat Shmur Matzah on Erev Pesach. Yeah. That's the Mahalach we had from the Pre-Chadosh. Next. Let's discuss a little bit the sugya of Birchas Erisin. So number 5, my time of Arkin Birchas Erisin, Kodim Kedushin Olah. So when do you say Birchas? Yeah. Listen, I don't know about like every prat, but like, I'll tell you the big sugyas are going to be on the test, like the sugya of Birchas Erisin, the sugya of Birchas Nesuin. Well, dafka, meaning like if it's something that's just shot in the Gemara, probably not going to be on the test. If it's, it has nafkaminas, halacha lemaisa, and you know, there was a whole mahalach build up, and it's a big sugya, like we had the machlokas, Rambam Rashba, I couldn't imagine that not being on the Gemara. Okay. So, Birchas Erisin. The Rambam says you have to say Birchas Erisin over La Asiyasa, meaning you make the bracha and then you put the ring on the finger.
Who said that?
The Rambam. The Ravid and Tosfos Paskin, you do not have to make the bracha over La Asiyasa. The Rush, this is now going on to number 6, it's Echa Rush Mazbir Birchas Erisin. So the Rush had a few kashas. This is a very famous Rush, probably the most famous Rush in Subas, said Rav Hirsch. Says the Rush, he has a few kashas on the Din of Birchas Erisin. Number 1, why don't we make a bracha? Right, what's the bracha of Birchas Erisin? Right, the Gemara said, we didn't really get to this part in the Gemara yet, but the Gemara said, no, let's just read. Let's go back to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Mevarchim Birchas Hasanim, Bebeis Hasanim. What was right off the bat, we had a machlokas about that. What does it mean? Mevarchim Birchas Hasanim, Bebeis Hasanim. Does it mean in the house of the Chasan Mamish? Or does it mean just wherever the Chasan Kala are? So the Rambam and Tosfos and Sukkah both said that it's where it's mamish in the house of the Chasan and Kala. Rashi just said it's wherever the Chasan and Kala are. Machluk is Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Am Rabbi Yehuda Af Bebeis Eretz Mebarach Anosah. Am Rabbi Yehuda Shonim Mepnei Yishim Misalchim Mebarach. Sana Idoch Mebarach Bebeis Hasanim Bebeis Hasanim Bebeis Eretz Mebeis Eretz Mebeis Eretz Mebarach Mebarach. What is the bracha of Bebeis Eretz? Ravin bar Rav Ada veRaba bar Rav Ada tervaihu mishmei de Rav Yehuda Amri. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Asher Gidishanu Mitzvosav Tivano Al Arayos Valsar Lanu Esarusos Vehiter Lanu Esanusos Lanu Ayde Chubave Gidushin. And then we have the rest of the bracha from Rav Acha Brei de Rava Misayim Be Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Am Yisrael Ayde Chubave Gidushin. Yeah. So that's the bracha Birchas Erisin. So says the Rush, why do we have such a long bracha? Why don't we just say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidish Lanu Mitzvos Tivano Al Mitzvos Kedusha. That's it. Why do you have such a long bracha? the ode. And another question asked the Rush. Why do we make a bracha on an Isser? We say, V'asar lanu es harusos. Why do we even mention that? What does that have anything to do with
Kiddushin?
Right, it has to do with Kiddushin, but when you, says the Rush, like when you shecht an animal, you don't say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elohim Mechalom Asher Asar Lanu Al Eivor Menachai Veheter Lanu Al Bracha Al Behema Shachot. You don't say that. You just say Baruch Ata Hashem Elohim Asher Kisham Esvanu Al Ashrito or Lishkot Behema or whatever it is. Right? Are you going to mention Eivor Menachai when you do Shrito? That's the second kasha of the Rush. Number three is, why do we even mention Arayos here? Right? Why do we mention Arayos Bechlal here? And then number four is, Lama Maskirin Chopa Bebirchas Hazana. By Birchas Erisin. Here, we're saying Birchas Erisin. What do we say? Baruch HaDashem Elkein Mecham Asher Yisham Mitzvanu Tzivanu Al Arayos V'Yitelanu Es Arasos. Here it's Birchas Erisin, not Birchas Hasanim. Why are we mentioning Chuppah at all? Those are the kashas of the Rush. The Rush answers that Birchas Erisin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. What is it? It's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda. This is possibly going to be on the Bechina. It's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda. Says the Rush. Yeah. Says the Rush. Kiddushin itself is not a mitzvah. Kiddushin itself is a hechsher mitzvah to peruvu. The Rambam paskins that it is a mitzvah. According to the Rush, though, he says no. Kiddushin is just a hechsher mitzvah. Therefore, it answers all the kashas. Because this isn't a Birchas HaMitzvah, this is a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda. So therefore, since a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda, that's why we don't say, Baruch HaShem 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 Mitzvah Tzvanu L'Kadosh Isha, because there is no mitzvah. It's a Hechsher mitzvah. And it also answers why we're Mevarech on the Isser, because since it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda, we're saying all the Shvachos we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he ushered someone who we're not married to, and now we're being mishabech to him that finally we are getting married, and therefore we're having shavuot to him.
What were the two questions? Why there's no bracha on?
Why is there just not a bracha? Shek shemus v'tzvanu l'kadesh isha. Number three is why do we mention arayos? Because it's a bracha shavuot. Number two is why do we why do we make a bracha on an iser? And number four is, why do we mention chuppah? Because it has nothing to do here with the mitzvah of what you're doing. It's a bracha of shevach v'hodah to relate to what you're doing. Rav Tursky had a chiddush that the Rush also holds that kiddushin is a mitzvah. So then, sure. Number three is, why do we mention arayos? And number four is, why do we mention chuppah if we're making birchas erisin? Yeah? So Rav Tursky says that according to the Rush, kiddushin is also kiddushin is a mitzvah, but the bracha is a bracha of shevach v'hoda. And he made a deal in the Rush, because the Rush said, whenever he's talking about it, he always says, al mitzvah zu. But everyone says that the Rush doesn't hold it to the mitzvah. It says Rutorsky, no, it's not true. The Rush really does hold it to mitzvah. It's not Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah is the Rush holds it. It's not a mitzvah. That Peruvu is a mitzvah, and that Kiddushin's Hechsher mitzvah. But the Rutorsky wanted to make a deal. Okay. 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 What time is it? Okay, we have a few more minutes. Let's see if we can get another big question about...
I'm going to go to Marv and Ruben so we can finish up.
Yeah. Sure. I'm just trying to see what, which would be another question that's for sure going to be on. Let's do one of the Malcolm from this and Kaplan. Yeah, I think that's it's a number three. You have number three there? Can I just borrow it for a second? Okay. Yeah, we'll do the one we did today. So then the Gemara here. Then the Gemara. Later on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara is discussing Shasimcha B'Mono. And by Shasimcha B'Mono, the Gemara says that you don't say it at a bris milah. Why don't you say it at a bris milah? Because the isle tar li yanuka. Because there is tar for the. It says the treaty mishum the isle tar li yanuka. That everyone's running around. Everyone's tarud because they're tar for the yanuka. Says Rav Nissim Kaplan that. What does that mean? Treaty the isle tar li yanuka. You can explain that in two ways. That is the treaty and the tar. Is it because of that this mitzvah has a tzar for the tinok, right? The mitzvah bris milah brings tzar to the baby? Or is the treaty, because they're tzar liyanuka, everyone is running around and busy and taking care of a sa'uda, the mohel, the, you know, taking care of the pharmaceuticals for the baby, all the different things, and there's a bris milah is a very, very busy time. Treaty means worried, busy, you know, occupied. Occupied is a good word. So that's the question. Is treaty mishum de isle tar liyanuka a din in bris milah, or is it a din in the tzibur? So that's the two ways to understand the answer. The nafkamina would be if the chasen and kala are at a bris milah. Do you still say simcha b'mono at the bris? So if you say that the treaty is because of the bris milah, that is because the mitzvah bris milah brings the tzar, so then, okay, so you won't say simcha b'mono because of bris milah, but now we have another mitzvah here that would require simcha b'mono. So since the chasen and kala are there, you should say simcha b'mono. Or you say that, but if you say that the treaty is because everyone's running around and no one's focused and everyone's occupied, so then you can't say simcha b'mono even if the chasen and kala are there because everyone's too tarud. So says in this in Kaplan that could be a nafkamina, and he shrugs it up. He says, but even if you want to say that you that it's treaty because of the tzibor, you would still say it if a chazan and kala are there because there's a chiyuv. And he says that so if a chazan and kala are at a bris milah, you would say sasam kumono, and that's the way that he said that Rosh Shlomo Zalman paskind also. Halacha l'maisa. Shkayach to everyone for coming. My pleasure.